Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Your popcorn
ready. On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH.
And good morning, everybody. Good to have you with us as we get rolling on a Thursday edition. Another no-no last night, about a 485-foot home run in that game as well. Nacho's cheese ball in the Dodgers game, and the Royals had an ace, look like an ace. Just some of the things that we'll be getting to today. And most importantly, how is Shane handling double action, morning and afternoons on Sports Daily and The Drive? How are you holding up, buddy?
Well, since you asked, and since Carlos Rodon threw a no-hitter, Cap and I talked last night in the second segment about what's it take to throw a CG nowadays, and the answer is pretty simply throw a no-hitter, because otherwise you're probably not gonna. There have only been three now: Lance Lynn against the Royals, complete games I'm talking about. Lance Lynn threw one against the Royals that made me sad, and then Joe Musgrove and Carlos Rodon have thrown a CG. And the last two.
Yeah, so two of them have been no-hitters.
Have been no-hitters.
Right.
Yeah. And so we talked about the complete game going the way of the dodo bird that is hard to define exactly why. I'm sure there's multiple reasons why guys don't throw complete games anymore. But that was one of the topics, and we had a little fun. We had a little, in true Drive fashion, we had an entertainment news segment. So we had a good time, and hopefully people liked it. And then it's only going to happen a couple days a week, so it's not like I'll be working, you know, nonstop.
Well, I'm glad that you were true to the roots of what the Drive is all about. So that's good. That's a good continuation of their legacy.
And
I like it.
Jeffrey kind of gave me his blessing. He was glad that I kept the top 10 Wednesday going and the entertainment news. And yeah, they're not all sports, so we didn't just stick to sports last night from 4 to 6.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. You know, it's interesting that you bring up the, and I like the conversation about CGs, because Rodon last night was hitting 99 in the ninth inning. Now, he's amped up. I get it. And by God, I mean, if he doesn't throw one errant slider, it's a perfecto. But be that as it may, we'll take the no hitter. But I mean, he was clocking high 90s. Into the ninth inning. So it is an interesting question about are some guys better situated and made for complete games? Are there some guys that are just mules that way, or horses, if you will, that, you know, can go for the long ride? Are there some guys that are just better situated for 5 or 6 innings? Give me a quality start and get out. Manager. How does the manager view that when he's making pitching decisions? What do the metrics say? Is it a metric-based thing now?
That complete games are kind of a thing of the bygone era? The third time through the order metric will tell you that you probably should go to the bullpen. But look, to your point, Rodon's average fastball velocity in the first three innings was 93. Innings 4 to 6, it was 95.5. And in inning 7, 8, 9, his average fastball velocity was 96.5. He touched 98.8 in the ninth inning. So I get that it was 8 to nothing, and he had a no-hitter going. Both of those things make it really easy to run him back out there. But you might be surprised if you stick with your guy past the sixth inning. You might be surprised that he does get and they're not all going to get stronger as they go. And I'm not sure that that's even not a misnomer. Oh, he's getting stronger. Well,
right.
May not be getting stronger, but he's getting sharper, you know, and he's settling in.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and I get that not everybody goes five and dive, but there are a lot of bullpens that are constructed from back to front. And you know who made that famous was the Royals in 2014. They turned it into a five or six inning game and then turned it over to the bullpen. It was pretty much over. And it got them to a World Series in 14, and it won them a World Series in 15. And so I guess we can, in some ways, have the Royals blueprint to blame or credit, however you want to look at it, that guys don't go nine anymore. But two of the three guys that have this year threw a no-hitter. And by the way, Joe Musgrove would have had a perfect game, too, if he hadn't hit a guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Both of those guys hit somebody to spoil the perfecto, and Rodon hit that non-hitting Bob Perez in the foot with an 0-2 slider. Otherwise, he'd have been perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I also said yesterday to Capra, and probably could have taken the opportunity to say it to you when we were talking about Joe Musgrove, I don't think that's the last time that the Texas Rangers are going to get no hit this year. I'll go ahead and make
probably
that
not.
Proclamation. They might get no hit multiple times this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. So. They're not a very good baseball team. Rockies are right there with them. Rockies could get no hit, too.
Speaking of that, at the end of the show last night, we had Uncle Tony's Lock of the Night. And so he gave us a bet to go with, you know, kind of as a parting shot. And Uncle Tony's Lock of the Night was the under 7.5 in the Rockies-Dodgers game. And he got it.
Well, that's because John Gray was pitching. John Gray was going to hold the Dodgers down to a certain degree, and the Rockies were going to hold themselves down offensively because they're so inept. 26 straight innings without scoring a run before Trevor Story finally drove one in last night.
Good times. What are you guys, three and something? Three for?
Three and eight.
Three and eight?
Three and eight, yeah. Three and nine, maybe even. About to get swept by the Dodgers after being swept by the Giants.
See, aren't they trash too, the Giants? What's your assessment?
Well, the Giants are off to like about a 500 start, but yeah, I think they're trash.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that will prove itself to be the case. But anyway.
Okay. Happy Jackie Robinson Day.
That's right.
Yep.
Big 42 day today. We're glad about that.
April 15th, the anniversary of his historic Major League Baseball debut as he broke the baseball color barrier. Or Friday, April 16th, depending on when you play. But the extra day allows for teams not playing on a traditional off day to appropriately commemorate Jackie Robinson Day. I don't know if everybody's playing today, but if they're not, then tomorrow we can carry it over. But famously, Jackie Robinson began his studies at UCLA, becoming a four-sport letterman, and the rest is kind of history, although not without some many, many bumps in the road along the way. Have we talked about the movie 42 very much? I forget.
Not a ton. I was just ironically, or perhaps well-timed, because they understand that it's right around Jackie Robinson Day. It was on just the other day.
Was it?
It's a good baseball movie.
And that was my introduction to Chadwick Boseman, the now deceased actor that portrayed Jackie Robinson. I think that was the first time I can recall, like, who's this guy? And he's pretty good.
And I apologize for calling it a baseball movie. It's obviously... baseball's the engine, but there's much more that it's about than the game of baseball.
Yeah.
So I apologize. But.
And it also has Harrison Ford in it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
I mean, I don't know much about Branch Rickey, but I mean, I guess I tip my hat to him for it.
Right. Had a cigar in his hand all the time.
He played a gruff old guy who had a pretty good understanding of how to, of what was going on. And based on everything I know about Branch Rickey, I suppose it was accurate.
He talked funny. So you assume Branch Rickey talked like that.
Right, exactly.
He had big bushy eyebrows, so you assume that was true.
Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Yeah. So Jackie Robinson Day. Carlos Rodon, second no-hitter of the season, nearly threw the perfect game. It would have been the first since Felix Hernandez back in 2012. Second no-hitter in the last 6 days. And he joins a kind of an elite or eclectic club to throw a no-hitter with the sole blemish being a hit-by-pitch. Him and Musgrove, Scherzer in 2015, Kevin Brown in 1997, and then two old-time guys. So does it make – is there any regret that when you look back, you're like, it's one thing to walk somebody, but I hit a dude, and especially Rodon hitting a guy on 0-2. Do you get over that, or you just get just as inebriated after the fact because, hey, no-hitters are hard?
I think no-hitters are pretty hard to get.
I think they are.
I mean, yeah, you might lament how close you came to a perfecto because those are kind of the rarest of the rare.
Yeah.
But a no-hitter puts you in pretty let's just say a no-hitter indicates that you had pretty good stuff for all nine innings.
This would also be extra frustrating if you're into such things that he took a perfecto into the ninth inning. This is the eighth time that a pitcher has carried one into the ninth since the last time that it was completed by Felix Hernandez. Mike Leake, 2 years ago, did it. Is Mike Leake even still in baseball?
I don't think Mike Leake's in the game right now.
I don't think he is either. But and then Tampa Bay had a combined perfecto going 2 years ago at Baltimore. The Royals' very own Jorge Lopez was perfect into the ninth against the Twins. I remember watching that one. That was 2018. Rich Hill in 2017. Scherzer. Yusmeiro Petit was perfect through eight years ago. Yes. And so was Yu Darvish against the Astros. I recall that. That was when Yu was pitching for the Rangers, I think.
I do remember that one, yes. So, and by the way, that no-hitter allows the Royals to take over first place in the division.
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
Correct.
The Royals, the first-place Royals. I don't care if it's after 11 or 12 games. They're the first-place Royals.
Ten.
Let's go.
Ten. They're 6-4. But, yeah, and Brad Keller had a good outing.
Only 10 games?
Yeah, 6-4.
What the hell have they been doing?
Taking off
days. Everyone else has played 11, 12, 13 games.
Going to cold weather cities and taking off days because they got to celebrate three different opening days.
Right. So they're 6-4.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, What's on Tap is brought to you by Side Pockets. The rest of the show, we have Brandon Tierney from Tiki and Tierney that you hear middays now here on KFH. He'll join us here in 10 minutes or so. Second segment, we'll talk to Brandon Tierney. Welcome him back to the KFH airwaves. Also, 9:45, Wichita State basketball has made some additions, at least three by my count, two new ones and one official that Taylor Eldridge told us about a week or so ago, so we'll get to that. We got some headlines. We got some Royals musings as the Dunedin Blue Jays come to town tonight at 7:10. So we'll open a series.
You've been waiting on that one, haven't you?
I don't know. It just kind of came to me. I hadn't had it. You know, it's not like it's been in my pocket for a week.
Right.
But, yeah, the Jays come to town, 7:10 tonight here on KFH, and we'll have on this day, thanks to Superior Rents, as we normally do every day, 869-1240. Is the hotline if you want to join. So we've got no-hitter talk. We've got Jackie Robinson Day. PGA Tour is in full swing. I guess if you want to really stretch it. Hideki Matsuyama will not be in action this weekend there at Harbortown at the RBC Heritage. And famously, Hideki went home to Japan draping the green jacket over the the back of the chair that he was casually sitting on and scrolling through his phone as he was waiting to go home.
Beautiful.
A wonderful
just
flex.
Just beautiful.
From Hideki.
Just absolutely loved it. So
also, I know this, and this is random, but just to kind of wrap up the segment, a guy named Jaheim Otis has committed to Alabama. He's an offensive lineman. He got an offer when he was in eighth grade. He ran a 4.740 at the age of 14 and at 6'4 and 286 at an Ole Miss football camp. Ole Miss and Mississippi State both offered him in the same summer after Alabama did, and he's now the 215th ranked overall prospect in the class of 2022, but he was offered in the eighth grade. And he's now 6'4 and 350. But he's not the first prospect to receive an offer as an eighth grader. Didn't Indiana offer Damon Bailey in like the seventh or the eighth grade?
I think they did.
Remember that?
Yep. Todd Marinovich was a guy that was offered early. I mean, there have been guys like this.
Yeah, he, like I said, he's not the first. But that's still jarring to me to...
It is.
To try to digest in the eighth grade. Can you imagine someone offering you... Something like that when you were an eighth grader?
No, I was glad to be offered a can of Skol when I was a senior in high school.
Can of Skol, that's interesting pivot.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you get dizzy and throw
days.
Up?
Yeah. Wasn't my favorite.
Shall we talk about the first time we took a dip and not in a pool?
God.
Because I'm with you there.
Yeah, it, mine was freshman year in college, maybe, and seemed like a good thing to do at the time, that 30 seconds later seemed like a bad thing to do at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, that first time that you try smokeless tobacco, it's no joke.
No. It's too much.
Yeah, and my dad.
And that should be a pretty good. That should be a pretty good message to you.
It should.
Like when your body tells you that that's how you're going to, that's how you're going to react. You should probably just listen to it and say, "Oh, okay, never mind." Anyway.
Yeah, my dad was a user, and there was one day in the summer that I guess he went to work, and there was a can on the counter.
Well, of course you'd try it.
And so I was like, yeah, I guess. And I can't remember exactly how old I was. I wasn't very old. I was either, surely I was in high school, but freshman, sophomore, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was Skol. It wasn't like it was Hawken or one of those candy-type tobaccos.
Not Copenhagen.
It was the rough stuff. He chewed Skol. And headache, dizzy. Couldn't stop the room from spinning, borderline throwing up. Yeah, and you're right. It didn't.
Can't get away from it.
No. It hung around.
Can't get away from it.
Yeah. Can't get the taste out of your mouth completely either. Like it was there forever.
Awful.
Yeah, no bueno. Yeah. All right. When we come back, we'll talk to Brandon Tierney from Tiki and Tierney, where you can hear those guys this afternoon after Jim Rome. And moving forward, now that they're back on our airwaves, we'll talk to him about the state of the Yankees. Of course, he's on the East Coast. He had a Yankees take on Twitter a few minutes ago. Everybody in Major League Baseball striking out all the time, and how he and Tiki are doing up there. Tiki and Tierney's Brandon Tierney when we come back on Sports Daily.